We are at the very, very end of 87B in Ksuvos. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, if the husband is a little bit cunning, a little bit smart, so then what would he do? Ma'isila lide shvu d'areisa. He would bring her, the woman, who is now claiming she's owed a ksuba, and the witness is on the man's side and saying, no, he doesn't. So then, lide shvu d'areisa. He would be smart and bring her to the requirements of making a shvu d'areisa. What does that mean? Because yahiv la ksuba sa. We're now right at the top of 88A, first line. If he's smart, he'll make her say a shvua daraisa, which is, I guess, more binding, at least. Yahiv la ksubasa, how would he do that? He would give her ksuba to him, he would give her ksuba to her, ba'apechad sa'ada, in front of one witness, v'samech sa'ada kama asada ba'asra, and then he'd bring the witness who saw the first payment, together with a witness who saw the second payment, and if she claims she did not get her ksuba, so they can both together testify that she did.
I don't understand that.
I have no idea how this happens.
It's two separate occasions.
Yeah.
I mean, so they can each testify, but about two different things.
Exactly.
So why is that two witnesses? It's one witness.
They're both testifying that he paid it off.
I get it.
They're not testifying to the same thing. But that's not what we're asking. We're not asking for witnesses that saw the same act. We're asking for witnesses that can testify that it was paid. And in this case, we have two witnesses that say that.
My question is, why is that the question brought in court at all? So the question is, I have this man's accused of theft, and I have a witness that said that I saw him steal the cow on April 12th, 1998, and somebody came and said, I saw him
steal
cow from somebody.
You're talking about something else.
15 years later.
So if the question there was...
Did he steal a cow?
If the question where there was, is the cow stolen? So then you'd be right. That's two witnesses of a stolen cow. But if the question there was, I saw him steal, so then those are two separate occasions. So it's the same thing here. It's more about the practical outcome than it is about the act, and that's why their testimony can be the ksuba was paid, like past tense, right? It was past. Well, the background is the Mishnah. The previous Mishnah talks about how if she has claimed that she was not paid the ksuba, and there's one witness that says no, she was. So then she has to swear that she wasn't. But that's only a shvuah midrabanan. That's only a rabbinic shvuah. Now we're saying, well, can we concoct a case where we should be obligated not just to swear rabbinically, but also biblically? I don't know. Apparently, there's a stronger weight to the shvuah. What's the difference between swearing? She's swearing here, she's swearing there. You're still saying. I don't know what the practice is. Yes. I guess what it would be, I don't know. I don't know if she would feel greater pressure because it was Daraisa. Let me see here. Rashi says that it's a Shavuah Midrabanan is just a klala. It's like if you go over it, so okay, fine, the rabbis will curse you. But if it's a Shavuah Daraisa, Rashi says, Shehi b'shem o b'kinoi v'okhe sefer b'yado. You have to say Hashem's name, and you're holding the sefer Torah while you do it. Something like that. Yeah. But she has to make the swear in under greater, stringencies. Right. She'll say, okay, fine. I'm not going to hold the sefer Torah while doing this, or whatever it is. Yeah. What it does say here? A long Tosfos. Hold on. Here she says, Rabbeinu Nira, Dinaf Kamina, Ha'oliva, Derevi Yavau, Dehechel, Kvasei, Damar, Chazra, L'milchui, Yavla, Yehati, En Yach, L'shav, M'sham, B'hai, Dina, B'derai, Tzav, Abba, Derabanan, Afilu, Havya, Chashtuda, Ala, Shvua, Lo, Yaniach, Lefro, Allah, B'shvil, Kach, Hecha, Dish, Nishbas, Notas, Kedehacha, Dehachi, Mucha, Chaz, M'shvas, Ndainam. She wouldn't have to, he wouldn't have, she wouldn't have to pay? Oh, no, this is probably the second one he thinks of. Inam, ilman to Yisrael, to be the right fellow, maaf, chinan, to be the right fellow, maaf, chinan, naaf, gimina, naami, hecha, the ishvu, adi rabbanan, hamasu, lemeimar, hishava, vitzol, vidar, and so, lo, masu, lemeimar, lebal, hishava, vahab, vipater. He wouldn't be able to get out of it. What do you have? What do you have in notes? Something else?
You know, it's not a big difference.
Right, well, that's his question. He can't figure out what the difference is. But then he gives two answers as to what the difference is. Small thing. He thinks he has. He claims he has. So basically, once it's daraisa, she would have a greater requirement. According to Rashi, she has to do the performance is greater, is more weighty. And according to Tosfos, there are other ancillary things that might be consequential. Right, it doesn't sound like that from Tosfos, at least. Tosfos seems to disagree with Rashi about that. Well, that's what he's doing now. In order to get a daraisa, so he's trying to create two witnesses on the situation. And once he creates two witnesses, so then that would beget a shvua daraisa. I don't know why he would go through all this trouble to get her to swear me daraisa. It doesn't seem like that great of an advantage.
If he only had two witnesses, and I'm skeptical why this is two witnesses, but if he really had two witnesses, he paid her once in front of two witnesses, say,
mm-hmm.
How does her shvua help? The two witnesses established that should be definitive.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
Right. The two witnesses.
Yeah, I don't know.
Proper kosher witnesses.
Maybe if it was two witnesses. Maybe if it was two witnesses of the same act, so then you'd be right. But maybe because we have only two witnesses, that has been paid, but not that the act was committed. So then he would still have to make her swear, and he'd still have to pay again. I don't know. I don't understand the whole situation because what's he trying to do? Presumably, by making her swear midaraisa, he's trying to avoid having to pay again. But he just went through this whole thing to pay again. Oh, that's what I was going to say? So, either way, Mokum Luluhanaf Tamayim B'milva, then if she claims that she didn't get her ksuba, so then the two will come and oppose her in that. And basically, the husband will somehow, I don't know exactly what he's saying, Mokum Luluhanaf Tamayim, somehow he's going to produce the original money.
Claim that the money he gave her the first time was a loan.
The mills. Oh, so he's going to be able to get repaid by the loan somehow.
Now, if the woman is not stupid, she's just...
Well, the one aid can allow him to get repaid for that loan. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
Uh-huh.
If the woman is not stupid, she's going to take the second
loan. Right, just take it and run. Don't claim anything. Just cut your losses. If she sees what he's up to, so then, yeah. It's like a little lawyer game here. So Maskevla Rav Shesha Bered Rav Idi, Hayach Samech Sadakama Asad Batra. How can you connect one aid with another aid? They're looking at different things, right? It's David's thing. Elam Rav Shesha Bered Rav Idi, Yahivla Ksubas Bapi Sadakama Asad Batra. So what you should do is rather give her the ksuba with the first witness also in combination with the second witness. So give her the 200 zuz a second time, and then she can't deny it. Then Umokim La Hanach Hamai. And then you'll retroactively assume that the first one was a loan, and with a loan, it's good enough to have only one witness, and then Bahalva, he'll be able to get back that loan that he gave originally. So Maskel Rav Ashi Akasi, Yechol Amem, Shteik Zubas Habe. She could still claim, okay, fine, very good. You think that it was a loan, but it was really two ksubas. I don't know how she would claim that, that she really got two ksubas, and now she's still saying that she didn't get a ksuba.
The woman could be entitled to a two for both for various reasons. Her husband might
really?
Decide he wanted to add to it.
Okay.
So
she's not just claiming, no, that was a ksuba. She's claiming, you owe me two ksubas.
Or else he might have divorced her, but he can have back and written her a second one, even though he's not.
Yeah, I get it. That's my question. I don't get that either. I don't get it. Why would he go through the whole trouble just to pay her again? I guess the point is, at least if you're really able to do the loan trick, so then it wouldn't be paying her again. You'd pay her the real ksuba so that you can collect the first loan back. But at that point, it's all else is equal because you've either already paid 200, and now you're just in the hole, or then you pay 200 again and get that first 200 back. You're still 200 in the hole. The only difference is you get her off your back. That's only if you're still in the whole 200, but at least she stops bothering you, because now she can't claim anything against you. As opposed to before, if he paid the 200 already, and now there's no proof of it, so then she's just going
to
hock you with China.
Yeah,
it's just make you be quiet. That's the whole thing, is just make you be quiet. Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah.
There's a whole heap of cash, 20s and other bills by the tobacco box.
Okay.
So just want to do something. Okay. I just want to say to you, first off, thank you for all the hospitality.
You're welcome.
I was on the board
when
we decided to make the change. I purposely said I will not serve, if asked, I will not serve on the selection committee because I wasn't going to be here.
Okay.
Selection committee did a great job.
Okay.
And voted for you.
Okay.
From what I've seen, you've just, like, this place has grown while you're here,
100%.
And it's
just
flowering, and so
I appreciate the sentiment.
Commend
that. It means a lot of time from someone who's done it before and sees it now. I appreciate it. Shavon Siyah Tova.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you next time for a simcha.
We'll see you.
Well,
okay.
We should be back in a couple of weeks.
So. Okay. Hashem, see you then. All right. So El Amar Rav Ashi, who de moda lehu? It's moda lehu. What does that mean, moda lehu? That he told the witnesses about it already. He had told the second witnesses that I already paid the ksuba, and now he's doing it again to get her off her back, off his back. Oh. He says to the witnesses, no, that's not true. This is not considered a ksuba payment. This is considered a get you off my back payment. And he tells that to the witnesses. So the witnesses know that it's not really a second ksuba as much as it is a second payment for the same ksuba as the first one. Okay, I'm not really sure why that works. But
I'm not sure why she can't still claim that. And to
right, well, why does that help? Just because he told the witnesses that.
If she's telling the truth, take the oath.
Yeah, then it's a he said, she said type of thing. Yeah.
Right,
right. In the end of the day, she can just take the shavuot anyway. Yeah. I think the working assumption is that she wouldn't take a shavuot deraisa. For us, we're like, look, well, just do it again. If she really thinks that, if she really claims that, so then just do it again. But I think there is a real deterrent in having to make a shavuot deraisa. Why? I don't know.
I think that unlike today, people took seriously.
Yeah, they took the word seriously.
Super seriously that this was a huge...
Right, but my question is, they took it so much more seriously than Shavuot Rabbanan. That the rabbinic one, okay, fine. Oh, well, don't make do the rest. Don't make do the rest. I can't do Shavuot Rabbanan. No.
That
I don't get.
It should be absolutely clear to the average person, the average
IRS. Right. Who cares?
So,
that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know.
Right,
exactly. You've got to say the same. Well, I don't know. According to Rashi, maybe it's not. But yeah. Okay. Minuchasim mishubatim. So if it's coming, if she has to collect the ksuva from...
Obviously, a woman can hold a sefer tanura.
Under certain circumstances, yes.
Because...
Yeah, yeah. Good. That is according to Rashi, yeah. So minuchasim mishubatim, if she has to collect the loan on a lien, based on leaned land, or from the property of the orphans, so then she can only collect with a shavua. Tanan Hasim, it says in the Mishnah in Shavuos, V'chein ha'isom lo yiparu ela b'shavua. They shouldn't pay off the loan? Yiparu. What does that mean, yiparu? They should not be paid unless they take a shavua. They have to swear that it was not paid. Is that what that means? Right? The father bequeaths to them a contract for who knows what, $10,000. And now they're trying to collect on that contract. And they know from their father it was never paid. And they don't have any contracts or receipts that it was paid. They still have the contract that it wasn't paid. So they have to swear it wasn't paid in order to get paid. Says Gemara, Miman, who would not have to swear themselves? Right, they're obviously arguing about it. And now, so who has to swear? Right, something like that. Exactly. So now the Gemara is going to ask, Miman, from who If you're asking from the person that actually borrowed the money, his father was able to collect the loan without us swearing, and now they're only going to be able to collect it with a shvuah. I don't know why that's so off the... Because he's got a contract. So why can't they? Why is that? Why is that so out of reason? Because they weren't the one that made the contract. There's less of a reliability there. Okay, fine. So maybe that's the point. The point is the star is the star is the star. If it says it on the contract that they owed it, so what does it make a difference who's asking for it? Maybe. Okay. The orphans from other orphans. Lo yipara el b'shvua. So Amar Rabbi Yisrik, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Lo shanu elisha Amar Yisomim. Amar lanu abba lavisi uparasi. Aval Amar lanu abba lo lavisi af b'shvua lo yiparu. Interesting. So basically, if the situation was, when is it that the orphans have to swear that they weren't paid back from other orphans? Meaning that our father wasn't paid back by your father. So Rabbi Zrika says from Rabbi Yehuda, that's only in a case where the borrowing orphans said, our father borrowed and paid back. That's when the lender orphans have to swear, no, he never paid back. However, if the borrower orphans said, our father never borrowed, so then even with a swearing, so the lender orphans can't be ever paid back. Even if they swear, they would never be paid back. That's a fascinating nuance there. Maskev l'Rava, Adar Abba. Wait a second. Right, I don't know. Adar Abba. Kol ha'omer lo lavisi, ka'omer lo parati dami. Someone who says, I never borrowed, is the same thing. Halachically, we look at it as the same thing as someone who said it never paid back. Rather, what it means is to say like this. The time that we said that the lender orphans can make a swear to collect from the borrower orphans. The only time that they can make such a swear, as I said before, is when they said, our father borrowed and paid back. If, however, the borrower orphans said our father never borrowed, so then the lender orphans are paid even without a shvuah. The opposite of what we said before. The other direction. Why? It's as if they said we never paid it back. That's just the way that they say it, right, to try to get out of it. But that's what it really, really means is, he never borrowed anything, meaning we know he never paid it. Said in the Mishnah that if she's being paid back, not in front of the husband, he's across the ocean, whatever, so then she can only be paid back with a shvuah. Amr of Acha, Sar Habira. He was known as the officer of the palace. Is that what that means? Sar Habira. Master Balasnei Rabbi Yitzchak ba'Antochia. Is that Antioch? Okay. V'amar lo shanu el k'subas isha. That claim is only for a ksuba, mishum chinah, so that women will, that men would look good to women? How does it make the men look good? But what's the benefit of the favor? Oh, what we're saying here is not about the swearing. We're just asking generally about the woman getting paid in a foreign way, right? The husband is away on business, and it looks like he's trying to escape. He's not going to pay his ksuba. So now we say no, she's allowed to get her ksuba because we don't want him to look bad, as if he's not going to pay up what he's meant. So that other women would still be willing to pay to marry him, something like that. Aval balchov lo, that someone who is obligated a loan, so then you cannot pay it back not in front of the borrower, even if the lender makes a swearing. Rather, he has to wait until the person that owes him money is there in person and has to pay it. I don't know why. I guess there's not as much of an encouragement that we want to make sure that people have a good reputation. We don't want people to take other people's money and then go away and never pay it back. And then people aren't going to lend out money anymore, right? If they see that people are just doing this trick, they're going away and they're never going to pay back. We can't collect from their assets that they left behind. So then if people aren't going to, they're never going to loan any money. All right. How do we pass in there? Yeah, we pass in that it happens by loans also. You can pay from a distance. We have Shimon Omer calls Masha to ask Ksubasa b'chulei. So as long as she is claiming her Ksuba, so then the inheritors will make her swear. But if she's not claiming her Ksuba, so then they don't make her swear. We have said, what is the case? Rabbi Shimon, ahai, what case are we talking about?
Maintenance.
What?
She's not claiming her Ketubah, but she's still married and is claiming to support her, right? To support.
Right. That's what we had proposed yesterday. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon, ahai, Amr Rabbi Yirma, aha. This is the case. In the frash lo b'fanav, lo tipar ala b'shvua. Lo shem zonav, lo shena l'ksubha. It doesn't matter if it's with regards to the support that she gets generally, the sustenance, or for the ksuba. That would be the same case. She'd always get paid if as long as she's willing to swear. Thus, Rabbi Shimon Meimar calls Mansha Tavas Ksubasa Yerushalmi Mashminosa. Only when she's claiming the actual literal ksuba does she get to swear and get it. However, Eina Tavas Ksubasa, Eina Yerushalmi Mashminosa, if she's only claiming the sustenance and not the ksuba, so then the Yarshin cannot make her swear. Meaning that they would have to give it to her regardless. Is that what it means? V'kamot v'v'v'l'gosad v'chanan v'v'nei kohanim gedolim. What is that? V'tznan mishav v'niyasiyam v'yishto t'vach mizonos. Someone who went overseas, and the woman is sitting there at home waiting to be paid for. You know, her pantry is empty. V'tznan mishav v'niyasiyam v'yishto t'vach mizonos. Chanan omer tishav basof. When she is widowed or divorced, so then she can swear for the payment of the ksuba. Right, but when she gets the sustenance from the husband, she does not need to swear about whether she got it. What? I don't know what the Kohanim have to do with this. So Tishava. The Kohanim can learn Torah too. I don't know why. I don't know why specifically we have this moniker for them. But so she should swear both. Batchila first, in order to get her sustenance. Ubasov, in order to get her suva also. Rabbi Shimon kechanan, Rabbanan kevnei Kohanim gedolim. Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan in our Mishnah passed in like these two mandamrim about whether she should swear to get her mizonos. Mask of Rav Sheshes, Hayarshin Mashbinosa, Basin Mashbinosa me Bayale. What do you mean the inheritors make her swear? Basin makes her swear. So Allah Amr Rav Sheshes, aha. It's really talking about a different case. In a case where Halcha, the woman who is not supposed to be swearing for anything, because it says so in her ksuba, she doesn't have to. She's coming Mikever Baal Besaviha. She's going from the burial of her husband to her father's house, or she goes back to her father-in-law's house, but she doesn't become the owner of the caretaker of the possessions. The inheritors do not make her swear. If, however, she becomes the caretaker of the possessions, so then they could make her swear, but only al ha'asid level, only things that from now and on. But they can't make her swear for that which happened while she was with her husband.
We also,
assuming endlessly that if these were her, the heiress should be her own children, her own son.
Not necessarily, but okay.
I agree, not necessarily, right. But we seem to be taking the not necessarily as the root.
And but also keep in mind,
fighting with the heirs of the
husband. It could very well be her own children, but keep in mind when money gets involved, everything goes up. You know, unfortunately, things can happen between siblings. Things I've seen it too many times, even in my own dealings. You're trying to figure out the siblings over the parents' money and stuff like that. So you can imagine that here you have the same type of thing. She wants her money and the husband. Yeah, I'm sure. And the children are like, no, we're not giving you a dime. This is our money, that kind of thing. Unfortunately, it happens. Yes, Rabbi. Right, you dig up old things from the past or whatever. Right. Yes, yes. Oh, it's all based on the health of that relationship generally, probably. Yes, Rabbi Shimon ben Amar calls Manshi Tavas Ksubasa, and Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, as long as she's claiming her Ksuba, so then Yoshim Rosh Dinusa. If she's claiming that she's owed her Ksuba, so then they can make her swear. In this case, where she becomes the apotropis. Ava, however, Ena Tavas Ksubasa, if she's not claiming her Ksuba, but rather, I don't know what she's claiming, Ena Yoshim Rosh Dinusa. I guess she's claiming she wants to be paid for, I don't know what she's getting, what she's asking for exactly. I guess she's trying to claim some of the money she's taking care of for sustenance. Abba Shabbos, which was appointed by the father of the orphans, so then Yeshava, he has to swear that he never took anything from them. Well, it depends on the situation. It could be divorce, it could be orphaning. It could be widowing or divorce. If divorcing, you're for sure right. Divorcing, you're for sure right. There could be some tension there for sure, but even widowing. But over here we're saying that there's machlokas. If the apotropos is appointed from the... Right, could be both. Yeah. So if the apotropos was appointed from the father and now is claiming, I never took anything from your father that belonged to you, the orphans. So we don't have to worry that ultimately he's not going to want to be the apotropos because he has to make the swearing. However, minu basin, if the basin says that he should be appointed, lo yishava. He does not have to swear because if he has to swear, it's going to look like the basin doesn't trust him. And therefore, he's not going to become the apotropos. He's going to ruin his reputation by having to swear based on the basin. So avashal omer chilaf hadvarim. It's the opposite. Minu basin yishava. If the basin appoints him, he has to swear. Why? Because that's part of going to basin. It's the process of basin. Basin needs to rely on a person. And therefore, people aren't going to look, hey, basin's making you swear. You must be untrustworthy. No, that's how basin works. Basin has to gain trust from people they don't know. However, minu avyusomim lo yishava. If the father hired the guy to take care of his stuff, so then he doesn't have to swear because... In that case, we're worried that the swearing would make him look bad if he knew the father and the father hired him and now he's got to swear for it. So maybe there was something wrong with that relationship. He was pulling one over. He was doing some insider trading. I don't know. So Abishol says the opposite. So then Rabbi Shimon Kabashol, Rabbanan, Rabbi Shimon holds like Abishol, that really you would have to swear. And the Rabbanan holds like the Rabbanan, you would not have to swear. Okay. Maskiv, I might have got that backwards. Maskiv labaye, high kol zman shetavas ksubasa. Wait a second. You said that the Mishnah means whenever she's claiming her ksuba, she has to swear. It shouldn't be kol zman shetavas. It should be im tovas if she claims the ksuba. Mi bayale. And it's an all or nothing thing. It's not if she's continually claiming the ksuba. If she ever claims the ksuba. Elam rabaye aha kasav la. It relates to the following case, the case that we had a couple of days ago. If he says you never have to swear, you never have to make her swear. You can never make her swear. However, so the Alban Meshur says, no one can swear. Him, the inheritors, she, her inheritors, nothing. Yes, Rabbi Shimon comes and says, no, that kol zman shetavas ksubasa, Yoshim Mashbinusa. all the time where she's claiming her tsuba. So then the inheritors can make her swear. Miriam, the Rabbana, that's crazy. Two daf in a row. We have the same person that we said before. If the Tanai that was made for the tsuba can make her not have to swear when it comes to collecting the tsuba. Rabbi Shimon Kabashal. Rabbi Shimon holds like Abishol, the son of Ben Ima and Miriam, who says that when you're coming to collect from the orphans, even though the husband said you don't have to make a shvuah, you can still make her swear, because that's the sakana of the chachamim according to Abishol Ben Ima Miriam, that anyone who comes to collect from the possession of the yisomim has to swear. Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan claim no, she doesn't have to swear. They hold like the Rabbanan who disagreed with Abishol, that the Tanai of the Ksuba is the Tanai of the Ksuba. He said she would never have to swear, and even if you're collecting from the orphans, she still doesn't have to swear. Mask is Rav Papa, somehow that justifies the words called man. I don't understand exactly why. Maybe because it's more continuous, because it goes to the next people and the next people. I don't know. That makes sense when it says if, however, she's not claiming the ksuba, so then what's the case where she wouldn't have to swear? It doesn't make any sense. There's no case where you wouldn't make her swear when she's not claiming ksuba.
Well, you wouldn't make her swear if she's not claiming her ksuba. What's the swear about?
Exactly. What would be the swear even for if she's not claiming anything? It wouldn't make any sense, because it's not the only case of Abba Shalom and Miriam would be about a ksuba, wouldn't be about anything else. So it doesn't make sense to say the second part of it. Ela Amar Papa La Fuke Mizrabi Eliezer Machluk. So it's coming to the exclusion of the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and his and the other people disagreeing with him. What was that machlokas? They argued about whether or not the husband is able to make his wife swear for the things she creates. Other things, meaning like, I think it's Masei Adah type stuff. And then any comments on that? Masei Adah type stuff, things that she produces, is that what it's talking about? Everyone agrees that she could be made to swear that she didn't produce anything and not give it to him, something like that. Now it's coming down, the Rabbana come to say. What?
There is one commentary.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because it just references a machlok, but doesn't explain what it is. But if...
I think this is going to be the thing where he sets her up as a shopkeeper.
Right. And the question is whether she held stuff back from him, from the store.
Right.
So now we're saying if she's claiming that, we can't make her swear that... we can't make her swear she didn't take anything. As according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Darabanan hold, that really they could. But here we're saying, no, we disagree with that. We're not making that machlokas. This is not that machlokas. We're saying that in that case, she would not be made to swear, according to Rabbi Shimon, at least. All right. I'm not 100% sure. But that's what we're saying here. It's coming to basically disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. It's machlokas over there about the pilcha v'yisasa. All right.
The
we'll call it there for that.
The
okay.